This week, Americans around the country will have their great American cookouts, the 4th of July barbecue. You're going to find menus with classic American foods, hamburgers and steaks, barbecued ribs, pork and brisket. But on the other 364 non-patriotic holiday days in the year, our dinner plates don't always look quite so American.
This is Claudia Farber from Highland Park, New Jersey. What might end up on my dinner plate is Thai, Japanese, Greek, or Turkish, courtesy of a local restaurant, and certainly hot dogs on the 4th.
What we eat and where our food is from says a lot, not just about the influx of foods from different cultures and different countries around the world, but can also serve as an economic indicator. Some foods, like Mexican and Chinese, are world famous, but are they really better than food from, say, Indonesia or Namibia or El Salvador, foods we don't see all the time on the street corner? Economist Tyler Cowen has been looking at what food says about a country's overall economic health and influence globally. He's the author of the new book, An Economist Gets Lunch, New Rules for Everyday Foodies, and he explains how cookbooks are an indicator of economic development.
Well, think about a cookbook as a measure of economic development. So if you have a very poor country, recipes are highly idiosyncratic. They depend upon very local sources, or maybe what one grandmother knows. But as a country becomes richer, it has more restaurants, it sells food more widely. Recipes need to be standardized. They need to be written down. That will get you cookbooks. It will also get you economic development.
But the most popular form of foreign food, if I can call it that, in this country, of course, is, well, it's probably Chinese. China is definitely an emerging economy. There's no doubt about that. But Chinese food has been popular here for like two generations. I mean, my grandparents ate a lot of Chinese food in New York City, even when it was a poor country.
I would say in this country, we've only been eating real Chinese food for the last 5 to 10 years. What we used to eat was really American food, which we called Chinese to make ourselves feel exotic. But as China has become wealthier, it now has a lot of good real Sichuan, real Hunan restaurants, and they're coming to this country. So I think it fits the pattern exactly.
Oh, well, that's interesting. American food dressed up as Chinese. I think that's certainly true, even most of the places you go to today. Well, you try to explain in the difference between two countries that are right next to each other that are economically similar, say, you know, China and Turkmenistan. We eat a lot of Chinese food. Turkmenistan has basically a similar GDP, but I've never even seen a Turkmen cookbook or restaurant.
You know, other factors have to do with how much a country trades and how many immigrants it sends out. So Chinese food and also India, they've sent out a lot of their citizens all over the world. That spreads cuisine too, but it's also another symbol of economic advancement.
How much of this is marketing? You know, you give an example of a Chadian restaurant. Have you ever been to a Chadian restaurant? I think most people would have to say no. I can't name one, but I've traveled in that part of the world just like you, and the food is delicious. What would it take for a Chadian restaurant to be successful? A lot of this is perception, not just ingredients. Somebody walking down the street might think, oh, Chad, desert, poor, I don't want to eat that. But it's a marketing issue also, isn't it?
Sure. People still say that about Ethiopian food. But one thing we could do is take in more immigrants from Chad. That would help. And it's interesting in how many African countries actually Chinese food is common. So there's also a sense of tradition. The people run restaurants because their parents or grandparents did, and that feeds upon itself.
There are a lot of poorer countries, Tyler Cowen, that seem to piggyback on sort of a regional perception. Of course, Thai food, Vietnamese food, and Chinese food kind of are the mantle of Asian cuisine in this country, but an increasing number of Laotian restaurants, Burmese restaurants, those are poor countries. Are they sort of piggybacking on the Asian food obsession that Americans have, or do they have something special going on?
They're piggybacking, but they taste very different. But once you get a person to try Thai food, almost certainly they're willing to try food from Laos. Or once a person likes Mexican food, they'll usually try food from El Salvador, even though the taste is very different. So we're seeing this slow spread toward a state of the world where Americans are willing to try, if not quite everything, you know, the foods from at least 50 or so countries around the world.
And there have to be exceptions to this rule. I know that there are economists love to fudge a little bit, Tyler Cowen, you know that. So let's talk about places where maybe your economic rules of culinary delight go wrong a little bit. I can think of one converse, maybe South Africa, where the president has been visiting. It's probably the most economically advanced country in all of Africa. I've never seen a South African restaurant, I don't think. It's not popular.
There are a few South African restaurants, but they tend to serve something a bit like British colonial food. But keep in mind, South African food is a bit like food in the U.S. They have great Indian food, good Chinese food, mixes of many different things. It's not clear what exactly South African food is, and that's actually a sign of the country's development.
Because they take in so many immigrants themselves that maybe their own sort of home cooking has gotten diluted?
As do we in the United States. Or fly up to Toronto and ask yourself, what's the food of Toronto? You'll be totally baffled.
And if you travel overseas and go to what's might be called an American restaurant, what are you going to get? Is it burgers and hot dogs? American cuisine to the rest of the world tells them what?
But again, that's getting a bit better. So if you go to a city like Berlin, which was once mostly German food, it now has food from around the whole world, and some of their American restaurants do barbecue, not as good as we do it, but it's getting better. And over time, we can expect cities such as Berlin to actually have real American food.
So, Tyler Cowen, before we let you go, what's the one emerging country, the one emerging economy that I need to look out for either on the cookbook shelves or restaurant rows in Washington, D.C., that's going to tell me that that country economically is coming into its own when I see their food?
Well, I think the two are still Mexico and China. We have a lot of Mexican and Chinese food, but typically only from particular regions. And that choice is going to get much richer. And that, again, is reflecting progress in those countries themselves.
And my advice, if you're listening to this and you want to find Mexican food that maybe hasn't been in your town, Oaxacan. You don't see it anywhere, and it's absolutely amazing. We have it in Washington. Tyler Cowen is author of An Economist Gets Lunch, New Rules for Everyday Foodies. Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.